to repent, the opportunity to turn away from his sin, the opportunity to recognize his sin. But that didn't happen. And then we come to chapter 13. Now, if you look in chapter 13, look up to the top, verse 2. Pastor Gray talked about this briefly, but I want to mention it here. And during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him. John makes this small commentary that kind of sets the stage for the whole foot washing scene. And then where Gary talked about pride. And then comes to today's text. The alternate texts, the synoptic texts, are Matthew 26, Mark 14, and Luke 22. And they tell the story of Jesus, of Judas making a deal to betray Jesus for 30 shekels of silver. This was fulfilled of prophecy in Zechariah 11, 12. And I said to them, if it is good in your sight, give me my wages, but if not, never mind. And so they weighed out 30 pieces of silver as my wage. That's what Zechariah says. It's a prophecy. And here that prophecy is being fulfilled. The chief priests were going to paid him 30 pieces of silver. And this is a significant amount because in Exodus 21, 32, 30 pieces of silver is the price you pay if your animal kills a slave. If you have an animal and it kills somebody else's slave, you're to pay that owner, that slave owner, 30 pieces of silver. So it's an interesting amount. In Matthew's account, in chapter 26, 15, Judas says, what are you willing to give me to deliver him up to you? His love of money was so complete. And Luke's account in 22:3 opens up with this statement, and Satan entered into Judas. It seems from these texts that the devil seemed to come and go from Judas. In this case, Luke tells us that Satan had taken hold of Judas' heart to make this dark arrangement. The text seems to imply that Satan had not yet fully possessed Judas, as we will see in our text today. The natural state of man is to be a fallen sinner. But that does not mean that we all, or all those of the world, necessarily reach the full potential of that state. For God can use fallen people for common good, for common grace. We know this. James tells us how this process works in a person's heart. James chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lusts. Then when lust has conceived, it gives forth to sin. And when sin is fully matured, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. One time I wrote a sermon on this passage, and so the bottom line I wanted to point out is that we are faced with three tempters, that is the world, the flesh, and the devil. All three of them tempt us to sin in our hearts. All three of them are a driving force to destroy you. And this morning we see how Satan does that by using Judas's sin that he loved. Greed. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Satan, through sin, can latch onto a person's heart and chew them up. Ephesians 4:26-27 says this: "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." Judas gave Satan a foothold because of his unrepentant greed. He was not sorry he loved money. He loved money. He didn't see it as sin. He never recognized the folly of what he was doing. Not everyone who goes to these dark places in the heart comes out controlled by the devil. Those who are saved are controlled by the Holy Spirit. But those who are not, they are susceptible to this. Jesus gave us a clear picture of who Satan is as a warning to us to be watchful. John 8:44, "You are of your father, the devil." He's talking about the Pharisees. "And you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks, he speaks it from his own nature, and he is a liar and the father of lies." Judas had opened his heart up to the devil. He was thoroughly in the domain of darkness. But we, as believers, we have the light of Christ. Oh, there it is. You found it. There's the diagram. I guess they got put in the wrong spot. The light of Jesus is revealed in actions. Look at verse 19. "From now on, I'm telling you before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he." Jesus then counters this darkness when he tells them in verse 18 about the betrayer with a promise of prophetic fulfillment, proving that he is, and the word used here again is ego eimi, I am. "You may believe that I am." As we've discussed at length before, we see this as a claim to deity, where he's making reference back to the word, to the name Yahweh. And Jesus is telling them to compare what he says to what is happening. And in doing so, they will see that he is the Messiah. Verse 20, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives anyone I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." This is referred to by a lot of commentators as the chain of God's love. The light of the world, the gospel, is sent out into the world by Jesus through his followers. The word here, lambano, means to accept or receive, and it's used four times in this verse. Those who receive the love of the followers of Jesus can receive the love of Jesus. Those who receive the love of Jesus receive the love of the Father. If you have repented and received the free gift of God's love, the free gift of grace, you are a follower of Jesus. And when you become a follower of Jesus, a whole bunch of things happen. Some you may not even be aware of. And I just listed a few of them here. The Bible tells us that you're born again. The Bible tells us that your sins are atoned for. The Bible tells us that you're made a new creature, the new life, or the new nature. The Bible tells us that you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, who begins a new work of sanctification in you. You are justified as righteous and clean before the courts of heaven. You are translated from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love, and you will live eternally with Jesus in the new heaven and the new earth to come. But notice I didn't say that your fight with the devil is over. It's over when Jesus destroys the devil and his angels in a day to come. But until then, our fight with him in this life is still ongoing. The light of Jesus exposes the darkness. Verse 21, when Jesus had said these things, he became troubled in spirit. I think this is important to understand, that Jesus in his humanity wanted desperately for Judas to embrace the light. He wanted desperately for Judas to come to repentance and faith. And he had given Judas many opportunities to see his sin and recognize it and come to repentance and faith. The word troubled means to be suddenly struck with grief. Verse 21 continues. When he had said these things, became troubled in his spirit and bore witness and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me." And the disciples began looking at one another, perplexed about whom he was speaking. We know from the Synoptic Gospels that they were very confused. In Matthew 26 and Mark 14, Luke 22, they were all looking around at each other and they were saying, "Surely it's not me." And there was some bit of confusion going on in the room. You see, these men had lived together for 3 years. They had traveled together. They had gone through all the trials and tribulations that traveling together and living together for 3 years would bring about. All the interpersonal tension and resolution that you would imagine a group of 12 men going through when they traveled together for 3 years. They had also witnessed all of the confirming miracles of Jesus. They had seen things that we'd never seen. They had seen things that the Gospels don't tell us. But John tells us he didn't write everything in here. And so they were in utter shock. They were confused by what Jesus just said. Verse 23. There was reclining on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. So Simon Peter gestured to him to inquire, "Who is this one of whom he is speaking?" He leaned back just on Jesus' bosom, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "He is the one of whom I shall dip the piece of bread and give it to him." So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Now, this idea, this word, this lean back, it means to be in the sphere of or around. And the disciple whom Jesus loved was John. And we know this from John 21, verses 20 through 24. And John was leaning back against Jesus. So remember, John's here in the first position. He's on his left side. Peter's over here. Peter's across from him. John, what was he talking about? As everybody else back here is mumbling, "It's not me." Oh, John leans over. Who are you talking about, Lord? Who is it? Jesus then took this matzah sandwich. We know what these are now. The King James Version calls it a sop. What it was two pieces of matzah bread that are put together with bitter herbs in the middle, usually like very strong parsley or something similar, very bitter herb. And you put the matzah, you put the bitter herb between it. Bitter herbs are known as maror. I'm terrible at my pronunciation. And then what he did was he took that sandwich, Jesus took that, and he dipped it in this mixture called Chorasanth. Choraseth. Which is basically applesauce and nuts with a little bit of spices. It's all chopped up. And so he took that and dipped it in that. Of course, the matzah represents the manna that was delivered in the wilderness, and also purity because it's unleavened bread. And the bitter herbs represented the bitterness of the people of Israel as they're traveling in the wilderness. And the choreseth represented the mortar and bricks that the slaves in Egypt used for Pharaoh. One thing I wanted to point out to you that's important about this, when Jesus dipped this piece of bread and handed it to Judas, you might gloss over that, but I want to point out to you that in certain cultures, especially Eastern cultures, when you take a piece of food out of the serving dish and you give it to somebody else, it's a sign of affection in a lot of cultures, a sign of affection or friendship. And in this culture, in the Israeli culture, it was even higher than that. In their culture, when you dipped a piece of bread and you handed it to somebody, it's the same as giving a toast. It's a way of honoring that person, to bring everybody in the room's attention to that person. And it's meant to honor them. And here, you see Jesus showing his disciples who would betray him by honoring him. The Savior was showing Jesus' love to Judas right up to that moment. Beware the darkness that can win. We must truly trust in Christ. After the piece of bread, verse 27. And after the piece of bread, Satan then entered into him. Therefore, Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." Now, no one of those reclining at the table knew for what purpose he had said this to him. For some were thinking, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus was saying this to him, "Buy the things we have need of for the feast," or else that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the piece of bread, he went out immediately, and it was night. See, Satan won the war in Judas's heart. Satan had once again filled Judas because of Judas's greed. The power of Satan to entice and tempt people away from the light is strong. Satan sows bad seeds in the hearts of men. We see that in Matthew 13. I won't read all of that. But just to say that Satan sows tares among the weeds. For you see, Judas, right now, is in hell. In spite of Jesus' love for him, in spite of giving Judas every opportunity to recognize his sin and repent. You know, in Matthew, it's interesting that Judas always referred to Jesus as teacher or rabbi. If you do a study on this and look at the Gospels, every single time that Judas referred to Jesus, he referred to him as rabbi or teacher. Whereas the other disciples would do that on occasion, but most of the time they would refer to him as Lord. Judas never once referred to Jesus as Lord. Jesus was not Judas's Lord. John leaves us with a very interesting ending to this story. think it's important. He says the last phrase here, and it was night. And the reason why he tells us that is not because of the timing of the event. He's making a point. He's making a poetic statement here that it was dark, that there was darkness in that room, that there was darkness in what Judas had done and was about to do. For you see, Judas had stayed with Jesus for 3 years. He had eyewitnessed all of the same miracles that all the rest of the 11 had seen. He had seen all the authentication. He had seen all the prophecies fulfilled. He knew all this stuff, but yet he didn't accept Jesus as his Lord. He had a clear and close understanding that Jesus was the Messiah, but he didn't put his trust in that. He didn't put his faith in that. Instead, he let Satan take over his heart. Instead, he let his sin that he loved, his greed that he worshiped, control him. For applications, I have two. The first one, beware of having a said faith. If you have a said faith, you need to get right with Jesus. Going to church does not save you. Saying you're a Christian does not save you. Voting whatever way evangelicals are supposed to vote does not save you. Only receiving the free gift of God's love by repentance and placing your trust in Christ will you be saved and become born again. You have to change your mind about your sin. You need to recognize that that is sin and give it to God. Ask God to forgive you for it. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. Make him your Lord, not just your teacher. Don't be like Judas. And the second one, beware of creeping darkness. The devil's darkness creeps into our hearts. Before Jesus went to the cross, he told Peter this, right after Peter talked about denying Christ, when Jesus said he was going to deny him. Jesus says this, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has determined to sift all of you like wheat. But I have prayed earnestly for you that your faith may not fail. And you, once you have returned, strengthen your brothers. God does not want you to fail. God is your biggest cheerleader. But Satan would love you to fail. So be aware that we can be susceptible to that creeping darkness coming back into our hearts. And just remember, don't leave into the darkness like Judas did. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're a God who loves us, that chases after us. We thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit to help guide us and protect us from the schemes of the devil. And Lord, we ask that you would be with us as we go from here this week to be reminded that you are a Savior who loves us. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.